Okay, let's now talk about, now that we've done the Nichus issue to death, because there's really nothing else I'm going to say about this. We now turn to Shaul's response. So we are in Perek Yudalit, chapter 14, Pasuk Yud Zayin, sentence 17. We said last time, at the end of the previous passage, that the Plishtim experienced Cherdat Elokim, which is either Yonatan has put the fear of God in them, literally, Cherdat Elokim, or great fear. Cherdat Elokim could be read as powerful fear. One or the other, however you want to read it. But before the Jews were afraid, now the Plishtim are afraid, and let's see what happens. We'll read the next several sentences to see what Shaul does. It's a fascinating thing. Vayomer Shaul Amasherito. Shaul said to the people with him, Pikdu na ureu mi halach me imanu. Pikdu, lifkod, is? To count often. It can be to a point, but often it's to count. It doesn't have to mean literally a census, but he says, check the roll.
Yeah, check the count.
Right? We have Hashem pakad et Sarah, right? For Hashem to call Sarah to mind. But we use it, we're going to use it in the war with Amalek by Gedein Batilaim. It's a term for a census. Also, Shaul says, check who's not here. Why does Shaul want to check who's not here? What is he looking for?
Deserters?
No. He wants to know what's happened here. The previous sentence said the Plishtim are all in a tumult. Right? So Shaul says, who might have done that? Right.
Who's missing?
Vayifkadu, so they check. Vihine ein Yonatan v'nosechilav. Yonatan is not there, and the armor bearer is not there. Now, you are Yonatan's father. What's your first reaction?
Is he okay?
Vayomer Shaul la'achia. So Shaul says to Achia, who is the fellow who's in charge of the Urim v'Tumim. Some commentators seem to think he is the Kohen Gadol. Others are less clear. They do not say that, but he's in charge of the Urim v'Tumim, which is the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which is used to convey prophetic messages. So Shaul says to Achia, Hagisha Aron ha'Elokim. He says, I would like you to bring me the ark. Ki haya Aron ha'Elokim bayamahu uvnei Yisrael. Because the ark was there. Uvnei Yisrael, the commentators say to read as im b'nei Yisrael. The Aron was there with them. We have to talk about that. Vayihi ad diber Shaul el ha'Kohen. Shaul is talking to the Kohen. Ve'hamon asher b'machane plishtim vayelech haloch varav. But you have this hamon. Hamon here does not mean multitude, as it sometimes does, but hamon like mehuma.
Yeah.
This tumult that's going on in the plishti camp, vayelech haloch varav, is growing. Vayomer Shaul ha'Kohen, esof yadecha. And you can see there's a pause in the Pasuk there. It's a new paragraph, even though it's in all the Pasuk. It's like Shaul does a sudden change of direction. Shaul says to the Kohen, Esof Yadecha, literally gather in your hands. What it means is, scrap that idea, we're trying something else. Vayizaik Shaul v'chol ha'masherito v'yavo ad ha'milchama. Shaul and the army are rallied. They come to fight. V'hine ha'isa cherev ishperei ehu mehuma gedola me'od. And there is the sword of one man against his friend, meaning among the plishtim. This is something we find in Chumash. This is something we find later in Navi, that when the army is afraid, when they get routed, they start killing each other by accident in the battle. You find it in the Tochacha, right? The warnings of punishment, Kashluish Be'achiv, and you find it as well if you remember the story of Gidon. Right? So when Gidon attacks the camp of Midian, also, they are killing each other within the camp. They don't know who's coming or going.
Also
sorry?
In the confusion.
In the confusion, precisely. The fog of war, I believe, is the phrase.
Swords, right? We learned that there were no weapons in our...
Yes, the Jews don't even have weapons, right? It's clear that the Plishtim are killing themselves at this point. So although they did have slingshots, we said. So, yeah, they're killing each other in the camp. Not suicide. They're killing each other in just not knowing what's going on, who's coming or going. Yeah.
Quick question. If they had no weapons,
They had weapons, just not metal weapons.
Okay, so
we said they had slingshots. Yonatan and Shaul, you weren't here. Yonatan and Shaul were the ones who had the metal weapons.
Well,
yeah, got to catch the audio recordings.
Okay.
Or just read. Either way, they v'hayirim hayula plishtim ke small shilshom asher alu imam b'machane saviv, and the Hebrews were upon the plishtim like yesterday and the day before. We're going to have to figure out what exactly that means, because right now I don't know what that means. Those who had come up to the camp around, v'gam hema liyosim Yisrael Hashem Shaul v'yonasan, and they also were with Israel, were with Shaul and Yonatan. Right now that pasuk should not make any sense to us. We may need to gain some understanding, but first I want to finish reading about this war. V'chol ish Yisrael ha-mischabeim b'har Ephraim shama'u ki nasu plishtim. All the Jews who were hiding on Har Ephraim, where everything happens, they heard that the plishtim had fled. Vayad b'ku gam hema achareyem b'milchama, and they start running after the plishtim also. In other words, all those Jews who have been hiding in their holes or had been staying away join the fight. Vayosha Hashem Vayom Ahu Es Yisrael. And Hashem saves the Jews that day. Vahamilchama Avra Es Beis Aven. And the war, I'm going to read it as past a place called Beit Aven. We'll come back to that. V'ish Yisrael Nigas Vayom Ahu. And the Jews were Nigas on that day. The word Nigas is a fascinating word. Literally, we use it usually to mean oppressed. Right, they are pushing this war really powerfully. They are pressing themselves to the to their utmost. Vayoel Shaul es ha'am lemor. The word vayoel sometimes means that somebody desires something. Here it's used though in the expression of Allah, an oath or a curse. And Shaul swore for the nation, saying, "Arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem ad ha'erev." Cursed is the man who eats lechem until evening. We have a bunch of translations around the table. Roberta, in your art scroll, what is lechem translated as?
Food.
Food. Not bread.
Yeah.
Food. Does anyone have a translation that says anything other than food?
No.
Maybe what was that? Chav Dalet. They should say food.
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to matter later on, but this is something I've mentioned on other occasions. The word lechem in Tanakh often does not mean bread, but rather means food. Yeah. So cursed is the one who eats anything ad ha'erev until evening. V'nikamti me'oyvai, I am going to get revenge against my enemy. V'lotam kol ha'am lechem, and so nobody ate anything. They all went hungry. Okay.
Why did he want them to do this?
That is one question, right? What's the value of such an oath? What would you say?
Tanita
Esther doesn't help me. I have the same question.
They're not
ravening
spoil.
No.
Okay, I'm hearing too many different voices at the same time. So one approach Francine said is to be focused. We don't want them stopping and thinking about eating today. This is not a day to have lunch. Roberta notes the possibility that they could be going for the spoils. And again, you don't want them to go for the spoils. But the third possibility is Tanit Esther. So Tanit Esther is a very funny thing. I was going to come to it later, but I'll mention it now. People usually think that the reason for the fast of Esther is that that Esther fasted before going to Achashverosh, and therefore we fast on Tanit Esther. How do you know that that's a little bit odd?
It's the wrong time.
First of all, it's the wrong day. Mm-hmm. The fast of Esther is in the middle of the month of Nisan. Mm-hmm. Happens to overlap with Pesach. That's number one. Number two, Esther's fast is for how long?
3 days.
3 days. Right? We Bikoshi, we fast one, and we're happy.
We can do it for 3 days.
Right. So that's the thing. So some suggest that it really is modeled on Esther's fast, despite the being the wrong day, despite all of that. However, Mishnah Berurah says no. He says the practice that Jews had historically was when they went to war, they fasted. Why would they fast?
Well, full of food, you're tired and you don't have the same energy.
Possibly. Why else would they fast? To daven to Hashem.
Yeah.
It's about tshuva. So we're going to talk about all
this again. Like, fast.
Right. This is true. Hopefully not for war.
No, not at all.
I just want to be clear, I understand you correctly. Okay. So we're going to come back to this. What else is odd here?
I find something odd before.
Yeah.
That he asked who was missing, taken account. He's told that Yonatan and the armor bearer is missing. And somehow or another, if he isn't going out to find him or to...
Yeah,
no,
it's,
he appears.
We're persecuting the battle. I think we have to come back to that question. I think it's an important one. Why doesn't Shaul react to Yonatan's disappearance? Yeah. This is going to matter a great deal. This is going to matter a great deal. We're just not there yet.
There's not an assumption that that's what... Like, he doesn't just assume that. Oh.
Well, he could assume that, but doesn't he want to go looking for him?
Well, he knows what's going on, so...
Yeah. But he does nothing. He knows that there's a tumult in the Plishti camp.
Right.
But that's a second thing. And then the other is, Pasa Chaval.
Yes.
What in the world is going on in that sentence? I don't know how to read that sentence.
The Jews with the
Plishtim, they were there yesterday. The day before. What was that? And Vigam Hema?
Doesn't that usually mean that the Gemara is sort of like repeatedly or often enough?
What?
If Moshe so.
But it doesn't explain anything. They were for the Plishtim like yesterday and the day before. What was yesterday? What happened yesterday?
Living
I can't remember what I ate for breakfast.
Were there Jews who were like assimilated among them? Who like lived among them, who were assimilated?
So that may take us in that direction.
They felt
and they finally
were as afraid as they usually are, even though they see all of this confusion and the...
No, but it's describing the Jews.
Yeah. Right. The Jews
so
were...
they all of a sudden have
you
the strength.
Are you steamed towards them?
One second, Roberta,
the
they
usually
one second,
were
Roberta, what?
They all of a sudden have the strength to kind of...
Right. So one
because they weren't
right. So one possibility is when it says Vayavrim Hayula Plishtim Ki Itzmol Shilshom is a reference to Jews who actually lived among the Plishtim. Mm-hmm. And they are the ones who now ascend. Leona floats the idea that maybe it's describing that they were as afraid as they were before. But then I don't understand how they're now with Shaul and Yonatan if they're as afraid as they were before. Eddie had a third idea.
No,
no.
Means in the past.
Yes.
Not necessarily yesterday.
Okay. I still don't... Yeah, you are correct. I still don't know what it means. But yes. Susan, you were going to say? Or?
Well, the way they tried to solve the problem in here, they added words in brackets to make it make sense.
Right. So we're not going to go there yet. Right now, no. This is always... We start out with the questions, then we work our way through answers, and then if you have something in a commentary in your book that you want to add, that's great. But... Yeholiot. Right.
They were forced to go with the Plishtim to war against...
So we're going to come back to that. It's a good thought. The suggestion is that maybe this what we're actually talking about is something that we would see later on with David, which were that there were Jews who were involved in the Plishti attacks as well. David himself is taken by Achish.
It doesn't say in the text that they told Shaul that Yonatan wasn't there.
Really?
It just says that they checked and he wasn't there.
Well, he was one who ordered the census.
No, they were told, it says...
Let's go take a look. Shaul said, I want you to check and see who has left. They checked, and Yonatan wasn't there.
Yeah.
I would have assumed that means they told him.
Yeah.
I grant what you're saying, but I would have assumed that they told him. So, okay, we only have 5 minutes, but we're going to get a start on this. This business of consulting the Ephod and then not consulting the Ephod. So... Yeah, he wants to prepare for war, right? But he also wants to know who would have caused the fear in the Plishti camp. Take a look at source number 8, where the Malbim says that explicitly. He says, he wanted to know what the cause was. He wants to know who is it who's making all this ruckus. The only ones missing are Yonatan and his group. It's not hard to count them. Remember, he only had very few people with him at this point. They did a census. Who's here? Here. That's basically it. And so he sees it's only Yonatan and the armor bearer. But it's unlikely that just the two of them could have possibly done all of this. And that's why he says, where's the Ephod? He says, I want to know how in the world this could have happened, and he goes to consult the Ephod. As Malbim said, he can't understand how Yonatan could have been the one to cause this. But more than that, we ask the question of, doesn't he care? So some Mefarshim, some commentators, Radak, Ralbag, Abarbanel, say, you know what? Maybe that's why he goes to the Ephod. Take a look at source number 9. Ha'urim ha'tumim shaya ba'aron, the Urim and Tumim, which were in the Aron, lishalo be'lokim al devar Yonatan, to ask God about Yonatan. Hey, where's my son? As well as the tumult in the Plishti camp, the Ralbag Ayah just says Ra'u, but it has to be Ra'ui. It has to be a mistake. What should we do? Should we pursue the Plishtim? Should we not pursue the Plishtim? That's what's going on. Sorry. So I'm coming back to that. It's a good question. I'm not there yet.
Why, can I just ask, why would they have consulted it earlier? Like, why did they wait from now to consider?
Because until now, they haven't been ready to fight. Right? They've just been sort of hunkered
but
down there.
Like, should we fight? Like, doesn't it tell you
and for all we know, they did.
And when and how and whatever? So, okay.
For all we know, they asked yesterday and we're told to sit tight. Yeah. We don't get that information.
Okay.
But now he asks, because he wants to know what's up with my son, as well as what do we do. But then, as the tumult builds, he feels like, I can't sit there. I gotta get going already. And so he says, scrap that idea. But the question that was just asked, this question of what are these doing in the Aron and with the Aron and all of that, is a very strong question. The Yerushalmi is bothered by this whole story about what the Aron is doing there. The Aron was in Kiryat Yarim, right? We know that. We were told that explicitly. The Aron, back in Perek Zion, was in Kiryat Yarim until David would bring it to Yerushalayim. So the Yerushalmi, in source number 10, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Amar, Bet Aronot Hayu Malchim Yisrael Bamidbar. He says you had two Aronot in the Midbar. This is a classic debate, because you have Moshe being told to make an Aron, you have a separate Aron. It seems they actually had two Aronot. Echad, one of them, I see the time, so I'm just going to read my English. One of them held the Torah, and one held the broken tablets, meaning there's actually a Sefer Torah in there, the Moshe's Torah specifically, that he was told put in the Aron, as well as this, as well as the complete Luchos. And one had the Shivrei Luchos, the broken ones. The one holding Moshe's Torah remains in the Ohel Moed, remains in the Tent of Meeting. The one holding the broken tablets would enter and depart with them. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish's view. And the Rishalmi says, we can support Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, because it says here, Shaul says, bring forth the Aron. So the Aron's in Kiryat Yarim. So therefore, that proves you had two Aronot. To which the Rishalmi says, but what about the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish? They say there's only one Aron. So what are they going to do with this Pasuk? What would they reply? And the answer is, Aron doesn't mean Aron. It doesn't mean the Aron. It's lowercase. Aleph, Aron. It means the cabinet. Where you had the tzitz. The tzitz was the forehead plate of the Kohen Gadol that said Kodesh Lashem. He has to wear that when he's going to appeal to the Urim V'tumim. And what he was saying was, bring out the regalia of the Kohen Gadol so that we can consult the Ephod. That's the idea. There's more to say still about this. We're not through it, but we're going to have to pause with this. What we have right now, what we have at this stage is, aside from what we spent the first 40 minutes on, the justification of the Nichush in various ways, is that Yonatan was successful, Shaul takes a census, perhaps the goal of this check on the camp is to see who caused this, perhaps, though, well, no, that's definitely, he wants to know who caused this, but then he asks the Ephod, either because he wants to know whether we should go to war, or perhaps because he wants to know what happened to Yonatan. We're going to talk about more, God willing, next week, his response to Yonatan's disappearance. But the Jews are ready to go to war, and in fact they do so successfully against the Plishtim. So God willing, next week, we'll continue with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.